We're dealing with it. And as you remember, we started unpacking it last week. Loving God with all of your heart. Loving God with all of your heart. And last week we talked about it being the choices that we make. Loving God with our will. We're not done with loving God with all of your heart yet. We're going to continue on that. But I want to go back to an article that I read. I think it was in December. There was this huge cold snap taking place in Europe. Really, really cold. And people were being driven inside, driven into their homes. And I found this in the odd news part. You ever get, you know, those websites or in the paper where there's odd news around the world, things that really look strange at first. And here's what it said. It said that these people in the UK had to go home. They had to. And they started hitting this website. This website's traffic doubled during this cold snap. And it was a website where you could arrange a discreet extramarital affair. Right? You don't want a divorce. You just want a fling. You want to keep wearing the ring, but at least for a while, you want your heart to go somewhere else. Right? Now, I went back last week and tried to find the article, but I couldn't. So I tried finding the website. Now, don't get me wrong, you know. This is sermon research, okay? And it's a website in Great Britain. And I don't know whether I found the site or not, because when I typed in a search string, something like UK extramarital affairs, something like that, I stopped counting after 7 sites. And it was just packed. Here's a few of them. IllicitEncounters.com. Now, they advertise themselves as the UK's largest married dating site. I guess you have to have something to be proud of. Affairsanddating.com. It says whether you're out for an extramarital affair or you just want to flirt, they're for you. Outoftownaffairs.com. This one, it says, is becoming more and more popular for married folks seeking extramarital affairs without their partners finding out. Okay? Now, just a clue, guys. I mean, if you're really, really, really trying to keep your partner from finding out, chances are you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, right? I mean, that's just kind of a rule of thumb. This one's title caught me, lovinglinks.com. I think that's misnamed. Affairsforyou.com. It says, browse through the personals in our extramarital dating site and start your illicit affair today. Wow. Meaning when you can't get to sinning soon enough. And that's all on page 1. I didn't bother to scroll to page 2. And it just kind of blew my mind. I expected to find, but just not the math of that stuff that I found. That was all for the United Kingdom. Apparently they wanted to keep wearing the ring, but give their heart to another, at least for a while. They want the ring, and they want a fling. Now, here's another one. Now, you tell me whether this is holier or whether it's just as evil in its own way. You tell me. You compare the two. You ready? Randy, my preaching partner, he's my preaching partner over in Indiana. He tells me that there's a married couple in his church with a 15-year-old son. He tells me they haven't slept together in the same bed since their son was born. They haven't been intimate together since he was born. They don't even try. They just live together in the same house. They don't believe in divorce. You get that? They don't believe in divorce. But apparently they don't believe in marriage either, do they? They got rings on their fingers, but they don't have rings on their hearts. Now you tell me whether that relationship is God-honoring. God designed marriage to be a place of intimacy. God's intent was that two become one. God wants partnership. He wants love. He wants passion. And isn't their relationship a violation of what marriage is supposed to be? Isn't it a violation of the will of God? Sick, isn't it? No intimacy, and they don't care. They wear a ring around their finger, but not around their heart. And that's wrong. But here's the deal. That's how a whole lot of Christians do life with God, isn't it? In fact, we pull both of these stunts with God. Sometimes we wear his ring on our finger, but we look for flings. We try to give our hearts to another. And we're supposed to put him first in our heart, but we don't. We're supposed to love him with all of our heart. Maybe it's a person that's more important to you than God. You know, in God's eyes, that's called adultery. Maybe it's some addiction that's more important to you than God. That's adultery too. Maybe it's money. Maybe a job. Maybe a hobby. Maybe a girl. Maybe a kid. Where we want the ring, but we put someone else before him in our life. And sometimes it's not that we give our hearts to another. Sometimes it's just that we become content with going through the motions. No real intimacy with God at all. Now, I know this is crass and crude, and I don't mean you to take this literally. But listen, some of you guys haven't slept in the same bed with God for 15 years. And you live in the same house. You go through the motions of marriage. You don't believe in marriage. You don't believe in divorce. So you're content to coexist amiably in a relationship where there's no fizz, no spark, where it's bored and passionless. You do enough in your walk with God that you can do your duty and keep your conscience at bay. But you're fooling yourself. And you give yourself solace that at least I'm staying faithful. At least I'm not having an affair, right? A lot of us sometimes, people think that we're serious about our walk with God, but we're fooling ourselves and fooling others. Now, this is really serious stuff this morning. It's really serious. We're trying to unpack it. Remember it? We said that it is you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your mind and all of your strength. We started unpacking that first part of that last week when we were talking about all of your heart. You got to love God with all of your heart. And I told you that even though for a lot of people heart immediately means emotions, in the Bible it's talking about our will. It's talking about our choices. Loving God with all of my heart means that I love Him, I honor Him with 100 choices that I make every single day. I put Him first in the choices that I make every single day. It's not primarily about my emotion, it's about my will. But it's more than that. You see, I can choose to do the right things day after day, day after day, and never really give God my heart. I can stay faithful without giving Him my heart. And that ticks Him off. It really does. I want to teach you another verse, and a lot of what we're going to do this morning comes out of this verse. Now, every once in a while, I do something kind of foolish, and I teach you a verse using Bible aerobics, right? Here are the rules on Bible aerobics this morning. I'm going to have you stand in a second, right? If you like the people that you're standing next to, put a little space between you and them, all right? If you don't like them, stay tight because I'll give you permission to smack them upside the head, okay? That's what we're going to do. You ready? You got to stand up, and if you like the person, a little space between you and the people around you. Ready? I'm going to show you the motions. You don't have to say anything first. These are the motions. Take stock of whether people are separated. You can really learn a lot about people this morning. You ready? These are going to be the motions, right? These people honor me. This is a way that we honor God. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Push them away. Okay? These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Can you do that with me? We'll blank the screen, okay? Now, you can't just do the motions. The motions are easy. You got to do the words with me, all right? These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. One more time. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's easy, isn't it? You can sit down. That's easy. I'm going to make reference to that because that's an important verse that we're going to be unpacking this morning. It really is, okay? Now, think about what it says. These people honor me with their lips. That means they go through the motions. They wear my ring. They live in the same house with me. But their hearts are somewhere else. And God says it doesn't work. Because here's the key, and this is a line that I'd like you to remember. This is really important. God doesn't just want your obedience. He wants your heart. He doesn't just want your obedience. He wants your heart. I'm going to show you a couple of other verses that teach that same thing in the Bible. First of all, from the Psalms, it says this. All they gave him was lip service, and they lied with their tongues because their hearts are not loyal to him. It doesn't work because he doesn't want just our obedience. He wants our heart. Here's the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel says, my people come pretending to be sincere. They come pretending there's nothing wrong. They come pretending like they're here from here. They sit before you. They listen to your words. They have no intention of doing what you say because their mouths are full of lustful words and their hearts seek only money. There's a difference between what they're saying and what's down here in their heart, it says. And it doesn't work because God isn't interested in the motions of religion. He wants our heart. See, a lot of times we go to church for all the wrong reasons. It isn't being here that counts with God. What counts is whether or not we bring this with us. Right? See, God doesn't go through the motions of loving us. For some inexplicable reason, God has given us His heart. I mean, some people picture God as kind of a cosmic Mr. Spock, right? He's absolutely perfect. He always thinks the right things. He always does the right things. But passionless. That's not the Bible's picture of God. God gives us His heart. It says that when we hurt, He hurts. When we laugh, He's tickled. When we wander, He's jealous. When we're disobedient, it angers Him. God wants to share Himself with us, and He wants us to share ourselves with Him back. And we're not going to be content until we do. He's not going to be content with a passionless relationship, and we're not either. You know why? Because that's what we're made for. That's why we were built. That's why we were put here in the first place. We'll never be content with just going through the motions of religion, of just honoring Him with our lips, because God made us to do life with Him. He gave us a heart that is only satisfied when it's connected with Him. This is what we're made for. And that's why it says you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Now, it's possible that I was a little bit hard on a lot of us in the first part of the sermon. Because I know that every single one of us struggles at least a little bit with loving God with all of our heart. It's not an easy thing to do. I mean, most of us at least sometimes honor God with our lips when our hearts are very, very far away, right? Because there are a whole lot of things that can steal our passion for God. Meaning that if you're passionately devoted to God, there are a lot of things that can steal that passion. With the very best of intent, it's not always easy to be Christian from the inside out. Okay? We talk about a couple of things that can steal our passion. Sometimes it's because we go into these hard times, these dark places, these emotional valleys. Life gets hard, and that can steal your passion. Maybe you've lost a job. Times are hard. Sometimes hard times bring people closer to God, but other times it drives them away because they get confused, frustrated. It's hard. Maybe you've been praying some prayers and He's not answering your prayers the way you think He should. Maybe someone that's close to you is sick and you prayed to God and He didn't recover, maybe even died. It steals your passion for God. Maybe you're in a relationship that is broken or falling apart and you're hurt and you're angry and bitter, and that can steal your passion for God. Sometimes in the middle of those places, we can direct our frustrations towards God, and they can steal our passion. But sometimes it's not the external crises that steal our passion. Sometimes it's the things that are going on inside of us. I mean, John Ortberg, he's a great preacher, and John Ortberg talks about what he calls our shadow mission. He says that every one of us has at least two missions. I mean, every one of us is on a mission from God, right? We've talked about that before. I mean, God created us for a purpose, and our life is full when we follow the path that God made us for. We're on a mission from God. And then He says every one of us is tempted to drift towards a shadow mission. A mission that is not the one that God created me for, but one that is all about me. What I want, what I like. Not about God. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of a little hobbit by the name of Frodo. Ever heard of Frodo? In The Lord of the Rings, you can read the book or you watch the movie trilogy, he's the ring bearer. That's his mission from God. He's to be the ring bearer, right? His mission is to bless Middle-earth by destroying the ring and the fires of doom. And it's a dangerous mission and a mission that only he could do. I mean, the heart of his part of his mission was not to defeat the external enemies. And he had lots of them. And Sauron and Saruman the wizard and the dark riders and the orcs who were trying to hunt him down and Gollum, that wretched hobbit whose soul had already been stolen by that ring. They're not his toughest enemies. His toughest struggle was to renounce his shadow mission, wasn't it? claiming the ring for himself and using its power for his own good, for his own glory. And that's a war that goes on inside every single one of us, isn't it? There's a part of us that wants to do the mission that God has called us to do. And every one of us also pursues a shadow mission, a life that has lived our own path, our own way for what we want and like in life. It's about me. It's called sin. And here's the deal. Sin always steals your passion for God. Do you believe that? It always does. I mean, you can't be following your own path and have intimacy with God. You can't be living in the darkness and have fellowship with the light. You can't be living for yourself and doing life with God. It's going to steal your passion. Whenever you put anything in God's place, whenever you choose a path that is God-dishonoring, it's going to steal your passion for God. But sometimes it's not the hard places. Sometimes it's not even your sin. Here's another thing that can steal our passion. Sometimes it's just the sheer monotony of it all. The sheer busyness, the drudgery of it all, the same old routine of it all. It happens in marriages that way, doesn't it? You think about a lot of times when you struggle to maintain your passion in a marriage, same old routine, same old conversation, same old scenery, month after month, year after year, and the passion just kind of drifts away. I mean, you get all wrapped up in the busyness, going to work, paying the bills, cleaning the house, scolding the kids, preparing the meals, washing the clothes, and the sameness of it all just kind of robs you of that passion that once you felt inside. That's the same way with God. Same old songs, same old sermons, same old prayers, same old books, same old faces, week after week, year after year. I mean, even if you pour yourself into it, reading my Bible every day, praying every day, Sunday school, cell group, Wednesday night studies, weekly worship, sometimes the monotony of it all can steal the passion of those who want to be intimate with God. But here's the deal. This is a key. You've got to understand the difference between these two things. Sometimes we grow content with the distance. We're perfectly fine with the distance. We're very comfortable with sleeping in separate bedrooms from God. We're perfectly fine with coming here and going through the motions of religion while our hearts are far away from Him. We're content to live in the same house without intimacy. Sometimes we even go farther. Sometimes we're content to wear His ring while our hearts are out looking for a fling. But others want more, and here's the difference. It's going to be a struggle to love Him with all your heart, but He wants us to ache for more. Never to be satisfied with the distance. He wants us to battle through the hard times that steal our passion. He wants us to fight against the sins that steal our passion. He wants us never to grow content with the monotony of religion. He wants us to want Him. To want God. To want intimacy with God. To want to do life with God. To love Him with all of our heart. Here's what I've tried to do. I've tried to identify the problem. The problem is this, and it's a big one in the Bible. Sometimes we honor Him with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him, right? And I've tried to talk about some of the things that can make it difficult, even when you've got a good intent. I mean, just the dark places we go through. Sometimes the sins that we struggle with, sometimes the monotony of it all can rob us of that kind of passion. So what do we do about it? How do we keep on loving God with all of our heart? I'm not just talking about the choices. I'm talking about loving Him with that passion that we never let go of. Well, here's the first thing, and this is a bit of a sidebar, but it's important. I think we need to recognize this, put it on the table first. We need to understand that God made us different. He made us very, very different. You just look around this room and you can realize how much God likes variety, right? He likes us different. And here's the deal. People can be very different and still love God with all of their heart. People who love God with all of their heart don't have to look the same. We don't have to act the same. We don't have to think the same. I mean, some people who love God with all their heart are going to be very quiet. And others are going to be just downright noisy about it, right? Some people who love God with all their heart are going to have this passion for service and missions. Some are going to have a passion for study and prayer. Some are going to have a passion for kids. Some are going to have a passion for nature or art. And that's perfectly fine. If you're going to love God with all your heart, it doesn't mean you have to look like me, right? You hope. We can be very, very different and love God with all of our heart. God made us that way. The key is, are you putting God at the center of who you are? Are you putting God at the center of the way He made you? Here's the second thing, and this is huge. Loving God with all my heart means I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit trying. I'm not going to quit when it's hard. I'm not going to quit when I'm tired. I'm not going to quit when the obstacles seem insurmountable. I'm not going to quit when God seems distant. We're just not going to quit. Any of you guys ever seen the movie or read the book Seabiscuit? It's a great little movie about this little horse with a huge heart, and it was back in the time of the Depression, and Seabiscuit was a horse that was fast, but it had to face the greatest horse of its day, War Admiral, Triple Crown winner, right? It obliterated all the horses that it had run against, and you've got this showdown between Seabiscuit and War Admiral. Now, the regular jockey for Seabiscuit was Red Pollard, but he got hurt, so he couldn't ride his horse in the big race, so they got this stand-in, George Iceman Wolf, to ride for him. But before the race, Red took George aside to give him his instructions on how to win this race. It's weird. Here's what he said. He says, have Seabiscuit jump into the lead, right? Have him jump into the lead. But when War Admiral begins its final sprint, which was devastating, here's what he was supposed to do. Hold back and let him catch up. Hold back a little and let him catch up. And that seemed crazy, but here's why. He said, once a horse gives Seabiscuit the old look in the eye, Seabiscuit begins to run to parts unknown. He said, War Admiral has speed, good speed, speed when unopposed. But Seabiscuit, he says, you could kill him before he'd quit. You'd kill him before he'd quit. Because he said, it's not in his feet, it's in his heart. You know what he's talking about? You hear that? You can call it heart, you can call it drive, you can call it a dogged determination to finish well. You can see it in the greatest athletes, can't you? Man, when it gets tough, they just get going harder. They're not going to quit. No matter how insurmountable it seems, they're not going to quit. You can see it in the greatest parents with their kids. When things are tough, they're not going to quit. You can see it in the greatest spouses. When things are tough, they're not going to quit. You can see it in the greatest Christians. There is this dogged determination to finish well. I will not quit. I will not quit pursuing God. I will not quit pursuing intimacy with God. And then there's this third thing. Because you've got to recognize this fundamental truth. This is just a fundamental truth of the Scripture. This is what you were made for. This is who you are. This is why you're here, to love God with all of your heart. To love God with all your mind, all of your strength. That's why you were put on this earth in the first place. You were made by God, for God. You were crafted to do life with God. Now we run from it. And we chafe against it. We chase other passions, shadow passions. And we find out that those other passions can never fully satisfy. You know why? Because we weren't built for them. We were built for Him. And when we discover that and we embrace it, we start allowing ourselves to develop into what God made us to be, we begin to experience the life that God intended for us from the first part, from the very first, don't we? And I think that Christians need to feel a divine discontent. I love that phrase, a divine discontent. That we're never content with less than what God made us for. Never content with less than the intimacy with God that He made us for. Now, here's the last thing. And it may be the most important of them because, frankly, you can't do this thing by yourself. I mean, you can want to love God with all of your heart and you're going to struggle to do it. You're going to war against these things that steal your passion and you're going to struggle because we're not smart enough, we're not good enough, we're not strong enough to become what we want to be. Cool deal is that we don't have to be strong enough and smart enough and good enough because God's going to be there helping, right? That's His job. And He's really good at it. Anytime we reach out to God, we're going to find out that He's out in front of us, pulling us towards Him. I mean, you don't have to do this on your own. You've never taken a step towards God that He's not helped you with. You believe that? I mean, He wants this intimacy with you more than you ache for intimacy with Him. And you're not going to take a step towards Him that He's not going to empower, that He's not going to help you with. God's always nudging us. He's always niggling us. He's always drawing us. You felt it in your life, haven't you? You felt His tug. He's not going to force Himself on us. He never does. God is gentle in that way. He's shy in that way. He'll never force Himself on us. But He's not going to let you do this by yourself. if you really ache for it and you really appeal to him for that kind of strength in his own way, in his own time, and those are very important, in his own way and in his own time, he'll develop an intimacy with you. Do you believe that? Now, I can tell you where we feel that nudge most intimately. It's around the Lord's table. I mean, can you imagine anything more vivid an expression of love towards us than the Lord's table? Can you imagine anything that would tug at us more greatly than the Lord's table? I mean, it's set by God himself with the broken body of his own son, the blood of his own son, where he's trying to tell us how much he wants this kind of intimacy with us, how far he would go to have this intimacy with us. And when we gather around this table, we recognize that it's not us going towards God, it's him drawing us towards him, right? He's always out there first, making it possible for us. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, when you gather around, just take this little tiny piece of bread and this little tiny cup. It looks small, but it's God telling you that I love you this much, and I want intimacy this much. And don't just go through the motions of taking it and say, thank you, God. But what we're trying to do in this is to give ourselves back to him, aren't we? This Lord's Supper is a time when we give ourselves back to God like he's given himself to us. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so grateful for Jesus. We realize that it is by your grace that we come around this table. It is because of your love that we come around this table. And Father, for holding ourselves back so often, we just ask your forgiveness. And we pray that in this meal, we will be loved on by you. And that in return, we'll offer ourselves to you afresh. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. But it kind of comes down to what you think a relationship with God is going to look like, what it's going to feel like. A lot of people have a strange expectation of what it might be like to give God all my heart. Right? A lot of people think, I know it's right. I know that I need to do it, but I'm not going to like it. You know, I'm going to have to give up a whole lot to give my heart to God. Right? There was a movie not too long ago called Shallow Hal. Now, I didn't see the movie. I didn't. But I read about it and had a lot of people talk to me about it. It's got an interesting premise. It's a movie about a guy who's under a spell. Right? Every time he sees this really, really obese girl, he sees her as knocked down gorgeous, right? Just wonderful, just amazing girl. Because he's not looking at her body, he's looking at her heart. And so you start thinking about it, it's almost the opposite of that for us with God, isn't it? We're under a spell. And when we look at God, we say he's got this amazing heart, but he's not much to look at. If I'm going to marry God, if I'm going to enter this intimate relationship with God, not going to be much fun, is it? I mean, I'm going to give myself to God because it'll probably get me out of hell. And so I'm willing to exchange eternal hell for a little bit of hell on earth if I have to, right? We're kind of trapped. We'll be faithful to God, but don't expect a fiery love affair. Satan laughs and he mocks us because we're so screwed up that we exchange a knockout gorgeous God for cheap imitations. We don't even see his beauty. We trade God for things that never satisfy, all of these shadow missions, all of these sins that we pursue. And Satan laughs. When I ask you to love God with all of your heart, I'm not trying to ask you to give up something good for something that may be better morally, but worse as far as experientially. I'm inviting you to lay aside the crass, the crude, the cheap imitations and the shadow missions that obsess and consume you. I'm going to ask you to lay aside the things in your life that are keeping you from experiencing the life that God made you for. Why do we hold ourselves back? What do we think we're going to lose that's better, that matters? And this is what we're made for. Some of you guys who are sitting here, we just need to give yourself to God. You need to start down right at the starting point and say, God, I'm all in on this thing. I'm going to make you the king of my life. For most of us sitting in this room, we've tried to love God, but we haven't tried to love him with all of our heart. And there's so many pieces of ourselves that we hold back from Him. And we say it over and over and over again. God won't bless that part of your life that you hold back from Him. You got to give it over. And He'll help you to develop into what you were made for. And it'll be so much better. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for never quitting on us. And help us to have the wisdom and courage to embrace life your way. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.